The Essential Education, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, December 20, 1896. In the night season, some things were opened before me in reference to the work in the school that will soon be opened in this locality. The light given me was that we must not pattern after the similitude of any school that has been established in the past. We must study the Word of God critically as a great lesson book in order to know what the school may become under the receiving and doing of the Word of God. Unless we are guarded, we shall experience those hindrances to the spiritual education that have retarded the work of our schools in America by misapplication and miscalculation of the work most essential. When Christ was working in our world, he had but few followers, and those whom he called his disciples were, by the maxims and customs of the scribes and Pharisees, constantly kept back from the advancement they might have made in supplying their great want and becoming efficient in usefulness. Through the rabbis, customs had come down from generation to generation, and these were made all essential, even of more force than the Ten Commandments. Thus the precepts of men were taught and dwelt upon as of more value than a thus saith the Lord. I have been warned not to travel over the ground that many of the Battle Creek teachers have gone over in their experience. The amusement question was brought in there under a deceptive garb. Satan approached as an angel of light, and he worked most actively. If he could obtain the sanction of the teachers in the school at the great heart of the work, every school established would follow in its tread. The leaven of evil introduced and sanctioned by Battle Creek would spread the properties introduced to all with whom it had any connection. The Lord has thought it essential to give reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness on many things in regard to the management of schools among Seventh-day Adventists. All the light that has been given must be carefully heeded. No man or woman should be connected with our schools as educators who have not had an experience in obeying the Word of God. That which the Lord has spoken in the instruction given to our schools is to be strictly regarded, for if there is not in some respects an education of altogether a different character in our schools than has been given in Battle Creek, then we need not get the expense of purchasing land and erecting school buildings. In every school, Satan has tried to make himself the guide of the teachers who instruct the students. It is he who has introduced the idea that selfish amusements are a necessity. Students sent to school for the purpose of receiving an education to become evangelists, ministers, and missionaries to foreign countries have received the idea that amusements are essential to keep them in physical health, while the Lord has presented before them that the better way is to embrace in their education manual labor in the place of amusements. This amusement question, if practiced, will soon become a passion that gives disrelish to useful, healthful exercise of mind and body, which makes students useful to themselves and others. This education in felling trees, tilling soil, erecting buildings, as well as in literature, is the education our youth should each seek to obtain. Further on, a printing press should be connected with our school in order to educate in this line. Tent making also should be taken hold of. Buildings should be erected and masonry should be learned. There are also many things in which the lady students may be engaged. There is cooking, dressmaking, and gardening to be done. Strawberries should be planted, plants and flowers cultivated. This the lady students may be called out of doors to do. Thus they may be educated to useful labor. Bookbinding also and a variety of trades should be taken up. These will not only be putting into exercise brain, bone, and muscle, but will also be gaining knowledge. The greatest curse of our world in this our day is idleness. It leads to amusements merely to please and gratify self. The students have had a superabundance of this way of passing their time. They are now to have a different education, that they may be prepared to go forth from the school with an all-round education. The proper cooking of food is a most essential acquirement, especially where meat is not made the staple article of diet. Something must be prepared to take the place of meat, and these foods must be well prepared so that meat will not be desired. culture on all points of practical life will make our youth useful after they shall leave school to go to foreign countries. They will not then have to depend upon the people to whom they go to cook and sew for them or build their habitations. They will be much more influential if they show that they can educate the ignorant how to labor with the best methods and to produce the best results. This will be appreciated where means are difficult to obtain. They will reveal that missionaries can become educators in teaching them how to labor. A much smaller fund will be required to sustain such missionaries because they have put to the very best use their physical powers in useful practical labor combined with their studies. And wherever they may go, all that they have gained in this line will give them standing room. If the light God has given were cherished, students would leave schools free from the burden of debt. It is also essential to understand the philosophy of medical missionary work. Wherever the students shall go, they need an education in the science of how to treat the sick, for this will give them welcome in any place because there is suffering of every kind in every part of the world. The education given in our schools is one-sided. Students should be given an education that will fit them for successful business life. The common branches of education should be fully and thoroughly taught. Bookkeeping should be looked upon as of equal importance with grammar. This line of study is one of the most important for use in practical life. But few leave our schools with a knowledge of how to keep books correctly. The reason that today so many mistakes are made in accounts is not because those in charge of them are dishonest, but because they do not have a thorough knowledge of bookkeeping. They are not prompt in making a faithful daily estimate of their outgo. These mistakes have placed them in the ranks of dishonest men when designedly they are not dishonest. Many a youth, because ignorant of how to keep accounts, has made mistakes which have caused him serious trouble. Those who have a living interest in the cause and work of God should not allow themselves to settle down with the idea that they are not required to know how to keep books. Education, true education, means much. The time devoted in school to learning how to eat with your fork in place of your knife is not the most essential. These little matters of form and ceremony should not occupy time and strength. Those students who are at first coarse and awkward will soon overcome this. If the teachers are themselves courteous and kind and attentive, if they are true in heart and soul, if they do their work as in the sight of the whole universe of heaven, if they have the mind of Christ and are molded and fashioned by the Holy Spirit, they will behave not in a simpering, affected manner, but as ladies and gentlemen. And if students have before them the teacher's example of propriety, they will day by day be educated in proper manners. To establish our school in this out-of-the-way place seemed to surprise some. It is required some hard work to make a beginning. If the work is well begun, it will cost time and money. But a thing begun right is half done. It is the first steps that cost. But in holding what is already gained, we make a continual advance in the right direction. All are not wise to see this. By the blessing of the Lord, the work has been started, and now the help of everyone is needed. The students must be taught how to begin. The educators must be men and women who have had experience and who will lead the students in the right way at every step they advance. Teach Bible manners. Teach purity of thought, the strictest integrity. This is the most valuable instruction that can be given. Keep Jesus the pattern ever before your students by your example. This will act a prominent part in restoring the moral image of God in those under your charge. Teachers, you have no time, no duty to teach students the forms and ceremonies of this age of corruption, when everything is perverted to outward appearance and display. This must never find a place in our school. This reform is not to be brought in as essential. All religious exercises are to be treated with the greatest solemnity and reverence. The teaching given should be of a higher class, of a more sacred and religious character than has been given in schools generally. Human nature is worth working for, and it is to be elevated and refined. There is a work which God alone can do for those who are deficient. They must be fitted with the inward adorning, which is in the sight of God of great price. But the teachers can cooperate with God. Through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, which bringeth salvation and immortality to light, teachers may cooperate with God, and his heritage may be educated, not in the minuteness of etiquette, but in the science of salvation and godliness. This will prepare the sons and daughters of God to be finally transformed by the finishing touch of immortality, and in heaven they will carry forward more thoroughly the education begun in the schools here below. We shall be learners through all eternity. Every student should aspire to obtain a fitness by the inward adorning of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Therefore, he should in this life make diligent use of every opportunity and privilege to obtain all the knowledge possible for a qualification for that higher life in the future world. God requires of every youth the full development and cultivation of all his powers. Every faculty of mind, soul, and body is to be taxed to the highest to understand the Word of God and have a correct knowledge of the people and their manners who are chosen the elect of God and who will receive the well done from the lips of their Master and compose the family of God in heaven. This is work that everyone can do. Some are incapable of managing or organizing, but these can cooperate with those who have a talent for this. The teachers are to educate the youth to realize that if they receive Christ and believe in him, they will be brought into close relationship with God. He gives them power to become the sons of God, to associate with the highest dignitaries in the kingdom of heaven, to unite with Gabriel, with cherubim and seraphim, with angels and the archangel. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In his teaching our Savior did not encourage any to attend the rabbinical schools of his day, for the reason that their minds would be corrupted with the continually repeated, "They say," or "It hath been said." The Lord can do more with minds that have no connection with schools where infidel authors are perused. These lesson books he reaches out his hand to remove, and in their stead places the Old and New Testament scriptures. Those who will search the scriptures for themselves, because it is the Word of God, who are willing to dig for the truth as for hidden treasures, will receive for their prize that wisdom which cometh alone from God. If they will not rely upon their own smartness, nor trust in their own inventions and fruitful minds, if they will give the working of the mind into the Lord's hands and yoke up with Jesus Christ, they will not take steps where Jesus does not lead the way. The aim of life should be to obey the call of Christ, "Follow me." Those whose minds are kept pure and uncrowded with too many small items, who will let their mind give its strength to those things that will be received not from their standpoint, but from the light that God has given, will be continually gaining in knowledge. And this knowledge will direct them in straightforward channels. By their aftersight, they will be able to give thanks to God that they have studiously chosen to know and understand what saith the Lord to his servant. The Word of God is to be studied and taught. Converse with God through the medium of his word. Thus our characters will be transformed. The ideas and habits once thought essential will be changed. God's word is to be our lesson book. It is through the medium of this word that we are to learn all about that better country and the preparation essential for everyone to obtain an entrance into the kingdom of God. That word, obeyed cheerfully and willingly, will ennoble your whole being. Mrs. E.G. White,